I feel like I'm in the middle.
Council, I believe on Senate Bill 566, which is listed first for work session, we're expecting some amendments from LC in the next 5 or 10 minutes.
We hope so, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, we'll defer that until we receive a copy of those amendments.
You mean 9:15?
I think we better make sure we got everybody here before we get too far down our agenda, but perhaps we can take up 3204. While we're waiting, Representative Hanlon and Representative Burton to join us. If you could review the work in subcommittee earlier this afternoon on 3204, please.
Right. The committee adopted the dash two amendments, which are in front of you, to 3204. Essentially, the problem that it addresses is the fact that professional corporations can be controlled by non-professionals who may have different considerations. The current statute is written so that the majority of the members or persons are required to be architects. It doesn't talk about the majority of the control. So the bill itself would change the statute to require that the majority control of the architect, corporation, or partnership be in the hands of architects.
Okay. Is there a motion on 3204 as amended?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Dix.
I would move House Bill 3204 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Okay, Representative Dix moves House Bill 3204 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there further discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Aye.
No.
Dunn?
No.
Dix?
Aye.
Miller?
No.
Phillips?
No.
Votes aye. Representative Burton, we're on House Bill 3204 as amended by subcommittee.
Oh, votes aye.
Votes aye. We're hung up at 4-4, folks. Is Representative Hanlon going to join us here anytime soon?
Staff called him. He's on his way.
He's on his way.
If I'm correct, Mr. Chair, Representative Hanlon voted no in subcommittee to point out the record.
Okay. I would like to make sure that we have the courtesy of permitting him to vote when he joins us. Would members have any objection to allowing him to record his vote one way or the other? We drop the gavel at this point. At this point, the motion fails 4-4.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Bunn.
I'd like briefly to explain my vote. I had voted for this bill in subcommittee. Had an opportunity to read the amendments in the bill more carefully between that time and now, and made a decision that I felt it was not the policy that I wanted to see implemented.
Okay. Thank you.
I didn't mean to hear.
Council, let's start with 9:15.
Mr. Chair.
Excuse me, Representative Bellamy.
Maybe as a matter of courtesy, I would give notice of reconsideration. That way, when we come back, Representative, we can reconsider and Representative Hanlon can vote if you would request.
We could, or we could do it by unanimous consent.
Fine,
I think
let's do it that
way. The agreement of all that we could permit him to vote in that manner. Council, why don't we go ahead and proceed with 9:15?
Couple of tort claims limit.
Yeah. We have a couple of technical corrections to 9:15, which Council is going to review with us, and then I think Representative Dix, you have a motion for further amendment -10. Members may wish to refer to that while Council is getting the language that we want to consider in the nature of technical amendments to 915. Representative Hanlon, you've had a chance to rejoin us in your, while you were excused in Revenue Committee. We did take up House Bill 3204, which you may recall from our subcommittee just earlier this afternoon. And the committee vote was 4-4, four aye votes, four no votes. The committee agreed that the motion failed, of course, on sending the matter to the floor. The committee members wanted to give you the opportunity and indicated that they would give their unanimous consent and allow you to be recorded in your vote on House Bill 3204. Let me go ahead and place that motion. Representative Hanlon asks unanimous consent that he be allowed to vote on House Bill 3204. Is there any objection? If not, Representative Hanlon, how would you like to be recorded on House Bill 3204?
To get it to the floor, aye.
Votes aye. And the measure will go to the floor. Are there any volunteers? Any volunteers?
I'll carry it.
Okay, Representative Dix.
While we're on this subject, Council, could you get me the tapes of the testimony today presenting that bill, specifically the sponsor's testimony in favor of, so I can listen to that? Just so you know that I'm going to quote him. Rain on your parade.
Is this going to get ugly?
No. Let's save the ugliness.
We got lots of other
something that's really ugly.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, Council, are you prepared to review with us a couple of technical issues? One, I think, had to do with the effective date. Just want to
right, there to that. The two technical issues are in the drafts in front of you. The effective date was put on to the wrong two sections, and I can review the changes that would be needed to put it on to the correct section. It's on the last page of the bill, lines.
Okay, what draft are we working on, please, Council?
-10.
Well, let's work off the -9 amendments, since those are the ones that have been adopted to this point.
Mr. Chairman,
Representative Bunn.
Does -9 have all of the amendments that we included earlier?
To the best of my knowledge, Council, can you advise
yes,
me?
Yes, I can tell you, give you a rundown of the amendments that are in there. Specifically, there's the mountain rescue, the senior transportation immunity, or changes rather, the private agencies, change for the child care centers, something called the Good Sam, which is the medical emergency technicians bill, the architects and engineers third party liability, and the tort claim limit changes.
Mr. Chair, perhaps
Representative Dix,
perhaps at this time I could make my motion on -10. If -10 is not accepted, we can then work off of -9 since it's the accepted version.
That'd be fine, Representative.
And that way we wouldn't have to go back over -10.
That'd be fine, Representative Dix. Why don't you go ahead and place your motion if you like?
Yeah. The motion, I would move 915A-10 that we amend Senate Bill 915 with the -10 amendments. The only difference in the -10 amendments is the public tort claim liability section in the back. It goes back to the original version that was introduced by Representative Shiprock last session, which was 300-500. This was not the version that ended up being passed and vetoed by the governor. That was a compromise. Representative Shiprock and others were interested in the 500,000 total aggregate amount because they were particularly concerned about a wrestler from Sandy who'd been involved in an accident with seven other wrestlers. Also, there needs to be one other change in the July 1st, 1988 implementation date. I would have my amendments read January 1st, 1989, which is on page 10, section 19. And conferring with those who've conferred with the governor, it's the governor's The governor would prefer an implementation date of January 1st, 1989. He supports the raise in the, in this section, but would like it put off for another 6 months than what we had originally put in the first section.
Okay, Representative Dix has moved the dash 10 amendments to 915 with a further amendment that on page 10, line 19, I believe section 14, the date there, July 1st, 1988, could be amended to read January 1st, 1989. Is that correct?
It was felt that the cities, the local government entities would have time, more time to budget for the changes and the insurance that they'll need to purchase to cover this.
Okay, Representative Dix is so moved. Is there further discussion? Representative Bond.
Mr. Chairman, I would strongly oppose the motion to amend for the greater dollar amount for public liability. And my primary reason for opposing that is that I simply think that it assures the death of the bill as a whole. When we have the lower limits, which I support but do not support putting in this bill, I have talked with Senate members about those lower limits, and there are indications that the bill is in significant peril if we have the lower limits. If we put the larger limits, I don't think there's any question the bill's dead, and this is an academic exercise we're going through. The lower limits passed both houses of the legislature last session. The increase to those limits was good public policy. It was a compromise that went through both bodies, and I think at least we have an argument for it being included in this bill, although I would like to see it outside of the bill and would support it outside of the bill. If we make the amendment, we're killing the other good public policy that's in this bill, and I think that should not be done.
Okay, Representative Phillips.
Thank you. A question to the maker of the motion.
Sure.
You stated in your presentation that the governor was in support of changing the dates and also of the higher limits.
No, I did not. I don't know where he's at on the higher limits.
Which ones did he, was he?
He is in support of raising, I'm not sure of his, I don't know his position on either the original shipwreck bill or the one that passed. But let me make it clear for the record, he wants an implementation date of January 1st, 1989.
Okay, I just want to make sure I understood what he wanted. Okay, thank you.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a couple of amendments I wish to propose. They may not be deemed friendly. We'll find out. On page 2, section 3, beginning at line 13, I'd like to delete dash 10 amendments. I'm sorry.
Page 2, line.
Page 2, line 13, beginning with the word unless, to the end of that section on line 17.
Strike that.
Strike all that language. And also, I would like to, on page 3, section 6, delete that section. Top of the page, lines 1 through 3. First one, Mr. Chairman, in section 6, I don't see any reason for this kind of a sunset clause, given the fact that the legislature's in here, and if we deem it an inappropriate policy at some future date, I suspect they could repeal these kinds of laws, but it doesn't make a lot of sense from my point of view to put that in, also knowing that it would likely, in the situation we're addressing here, cause the suppliers of this rescuing device to think twice about supplying them, and that is also the reason for the deletion in section 3. I think the savings of lives far outweigh any benefits of this additional language or the possibility or the added possibility of lawsuit.
Well, Mr. Representative Miller, I'd prefer to deal with an up or down on the dash 10 amendments, and I think your motion would lie against the dash 9 amendments as well as the dash 10, if that would be okay with you.
That's fine.
Okay. Let's direct our attention, if we may, to Representative Dix's motion and then move on. Representative Burton,
Yeah, and I'm not certain that this may not be the proper place to ask this question, but we're excluding from liability the device, the rescue device, and any manufacturer control or manufacturer distribution or supply of that. Liability, it looks to me then, for specifications goes back to the state police, in other words, the state of Oregon. So is the adoption of this intended to say that if there is any liability for failure of these devices anyway, that liability falls back on the state of Oregon?
These amendments?
Well, or the bill itself, then.
That's not my understanding.
That would not be my understanding either. So that no one literally is liable, even though the state police would be required to draft the specifications for the device meeting its requirements. And if there's a failure on the part of that device for any reason not met, that would be even within those specifications, there's no liability on the part of the state of Oregon.
With regard to my motion, I can't address Representative Burton's concerns on the mountain signal device. I've had very little to do with the compromise that's been struck on that, so.
Maybe I should just put my question over to the poll.
Why don't we save that until, and we'll allow Mr. Kefouri a chance to respond, since I think he was the drafter of that language. To Representative Dix's motion, Representative Bonner.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I guess I need to get an idea of the direction we're going with several procedural things on this bill. A concern that I had with what I've called the Christmas tree bill all along is now developing. If Representative Dick's motion passes, I will be in a position of opposing the bill and giving notice of a minority report. I would simply place the question to the chairman, what is the intent of the chairman if the bill passes and no notice of a minority report is given, as to whether or not the bill will be let out of this committee?
My sense is if there's a minority report, there will be a motion to reconsider and that the bill's future becomes very uncertain.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I want to express my frustration and a bit of disgust at the place we find ourselves now. Told the Speaker of the House that if these provisions, the needs of the architects, the mountain rescue, private care agencies, were put in a bill together and we started stacking with it opposing elements and started amending those, the bill was dead before it got started. And I was assured that that was not the case, that we had an excellent opportunity to run with a bill that would actually move through the process. The very thing I was concerned about is now coming to pass. I would just again plead that we not add additional amendments that increase the public liability and kill this bill before it even gets out of this committee.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Dix.
Well, the facts are very simple, and I don't think this is part of any kind of conspiracy to build on top of bills. After we got done with the tort package, we looked for a Senate bill, and that's what we found, was a Senate bill, which we have in front of us. Now, I thought in conferring with a number of members of this committee that we had an agreement that the public tort part of the package would be sent over to the Senate. So that had to go into this bill. Later on, the chair notified me that, in fact, there were several other increments that the Speaker of the House, along with other members of the House, wanted to make sure got over to the Senate. Once again, there is only one vehicle in this committee. Now, yes, we could send House bills over, and it was mentioned by another committee member that, in fact, some of us all had priorities left to send House bills over to the Senate. But given the timeline today being perhaps 4 days from the end of the session, it is unlikely at this point that House bills will be returned at this late date, provided we can move them out of the committee. With regard to the amendments, that is the amendment that I support. And if committee members won't agree to support the bill as we moved it out of subcommittee, I felt inclined at that point to put the amendments in that I fully supported, because the other amendments with regard to this issue are a compromise on my part. And that is where I'm at. It's not my intention to kill the bill, and as I've represented to Representative Burton, I know very little about the first parts of the bill at the first part of this section on the mountain signal device. My concern was, and my part of this bill was, the public tort claim liability. I'm sorry that you're disgusted. I guess I don't understand that.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if I might respond further, there are additional amendments I would like to see in the private agency area. There are additional bills that I have purposely not brought into this bill for fear of endangering it. Mr. Chairman, at this time, I would ask for a 5-minute recess.
We may be called to the floor. I would sure like to finish this issue today. We'll be in recess for 5 minutes. Representative Dix.
Mr. Chair, having walked through the offices, I've seen the light and would like to withdraw my dash 10 amendments.
Okay.
And the motion on those and go back to the dash 9.
Okay. Representative Dix withdraws that motion. Is there any objection to that? Okay. If not, it'll be withdrawn. Council, I believe we're working off the dash 9 amendments, which reflect the action of the subcommittee. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, one other thing. The dash 9 amendments, I still think we need an implementation date of January 1st, 1989.
Okay.
I would so move, Mr. Chair.
Representative Dix and Bellamy move on page 10 of the dash 9 amendments, line 19, that the effective date or the date to which the language would apply would read January 1st, 1989. July 1st, 1988. Is there further discussion on that motion and amendment on the effective date? Is there any objection to that? If not, that will be adopted. Okay, Council, I believe that there are a couple amendments in a technical nature. Would you describe those first as it relates to the language regarding the tort claim limits? Down in section 15, please.
Well, actually, that's the it's the emergency clause, and the emergency clause was put on the wrong sections of the bill. The instructions of the committee were that the private child caring agency section should have an emergency clause on it. In order to accomplish that, on page 10, line 20, it reads section 1 to 5, and it should read sections 1 to 7.
Okay.
And then on line 21, the whole line, and then on line 22, through this act and needs to be deleted. So delete, so you change on line 20, 5 to 7, line 21, delete the whole line, and delete the first three words of line 22.
Okay, the chair would so move the amendments to section 15 described by council, to wit, making it effective to sections 1 through 7 and 10 through 12, and further deleting all of line 21 and the first three words of line 22. Are there any questions about the nature of the amendment? Any objection to those amendments? If not, they're adopted.
Mr. Chair, technical question.
Representative Bellamy.
What's the effective date of sections 8 and 9?
Those would be the ones that would wind up with the emergency clause on them.
Oh, okay.
Actually, that's the way it was passed out of committee, Mr. Grafton.
That's fine.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Bunn.
I just wanted to indicate, after having a chance to walk through the offices here, and in the spirit of cooperation, I now support the lower limits for public tort liability in the bill, the revisions there, and will work for their inclusion and passage in the bill.
Thank you, Representative Bunn. Before I recognize Representative Miller, I believe we had another technical amendment, or one suggested by the Oregon State Council of Seniors. Council, can you review that with us, please?
Correct. On your desk before you is an amendment labeled Ray Lawrence, Oregon State Council of Seniors. And what it does is it changes the language and adds that if an operator is paid, that operator is qualified for the program only if operating as an emergency operator. That was left out apparently when drafted.
Okay, and this?
Page 4, line 28 is where
so at the bottom of the page, we're adding the additional language indicated on the amendment prepared by Mr. Lawrence. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, the chair would move that amendment proposed by Mr. Lawrence following line 28 on page 4. Is there further discussion? Any objection to that amendment? If not, be adopted. Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move, as I did in dash 10, the same deletions, deleting section 6 on page 3, and also the deletion of the language on page 2, beginning on line 13 with the word unless, and concluding with the word act on page, on line 17.
Okay, Representative Miller moves in section 3, deletion of language as indicated, and deletion of section 6 of the amended bill. Representative Hamlin.
Just a question, Representative Miller. Wouldn't that also effectively delete section 5 in totality? Representative Miller. The effect of what we've done in lines 13 mm-hmm. through 17 would also delete section 5, would it not? There would be no function for it.
Not necessarily, Mr. Chairman, Representative Hanlon. That may still be a valuable exercise for those who care to distribute the signaling devices. That's not, my motion would not, you may suggest that it deletes somewhat the function and purpose of Section 5, but my motion will remain the same.
Okay, Representative Burton.
Mr. Chairman, that goes back to my question again about who the liability then falls upon. It would seem to me that, the effect of the motion by Representative Miller would place the liability on the Department of Police, State Department, Police Department. If they are responsible for drafting the specifications for the device and could be shown to be negligent in the drawing of those specifications, the manufacturer, the distributor, the supplier of that is held harmless in this, then that liability goes back to the state. And is that the intent of your motion?
No.
What is the intent of your motion then in placing that responsibility on the police?
Well, I'm not suggesting, Representative Burton, that it places it on the police.
Would you agree that it does? Who is liable then?
Well, I am more concerned with who is not.
And we, Mr. Chairman, could we ask if there is any, or could I like to have on the record some sense of whether or not the state of Oregon under this particular, either under Representative Miller's amendment or under the act itself, is going to be held liable in the case of failing to meet some otherwise arguable specifications?
Mr. Kafoury, can you assist us?
Mr. Chairman, I'm Stephen Kafoury, representing the Oregon Memorial Signal Mountain Fund. It's an interesting question. I guess the bottom line answer is that you can always sue somebody for anything that you want to. The question, I guess, is whether there's any real liability lying there. I suppose, theoretically, you could say that they drew negligent specifications, but the failure to meet specifications is not their responsibility, so there is no way they could be liable for failing to meet the specifications. I think it would be an awfully strange situation where the state police would be found negligent for failing to draw tight specifications, especially since if if you look at the reality of the situation, the people who are going to be drawing the specifications are the Memorial Signal Fund people themselves, who are technically knowledgeable and technically competent, and who are very interested in high specifications because they are risking their lives based on these devices. They're the ones who go up into the storms, into the snow, where to find people who are lost. And literally, they're risking their lives every time they go up there. There are people who are flying helicopters in mountains and stormy conditions trying to find people who are lost. That's very dangerous work. And as you know, helicopters have crashed on Mount Hood doing this kind of work before. So those people have a very high burden of self-imposed to ensure that those standards are going to, and those specifications are going to be very strict. So I don't see any possibility that in reality, that would ever happen.
Representative Burton.
Yeah, Mr. Corey, I guess the point I'm asking here is if there is some specifications drawn on the device, then I would assume that that means that that device is not yet, but apparently there's a device that's been selected. The specifications of that device then are something that is bought into and not necessarily something that's going to be, here are specifications, now you manufacture that device according to specifications.
No,
so essentially the specifications are going to be drawn are going to be specifications that were already there by the manufacturer in the first place. Is that correct?
Representative Burton, that's not entirely correct, no. There has been a proposal sent out from our group to a number of different manufacturers asking them to tell us what's the best they can offer. We have some specifications from this one manufacturer and from several other manufacturers as well. But those specifications